This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The release of the Panama Papers revealed the seriousness of how wealthy elites steal money from all of us. But tax dodging and the use of offshore tax havens is hardly a new phenomenon. Tax justice activists hope that the publicity from the Panama Papers will shine a light on an uneven playing field. On Friday, several experts testified to the Internal Revenue Service, urging the agency to adopt a new rule that would require U.S. corporations in particular to disclose country-by-country profits and taxes. And one of those who testified is my guest, Heather Lowe, the legal counsel and director of government affairs at the group Global Financial Integrity. She's also a steering team member of the Financial Accountability and Corporate Transparency, or FACT, Coalition. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us. So tell us specifically about this rule before we get into the testimonies that you and others gave. What is this rule? It's geared not towards individuals, I understand, which is what the Panama Papers have revealed, but specifically towards corporations, right?
That's right. What this rule would do would be to require companies, multinational companies, to report their profits, taxes, losses, revenues, some basic categories of financial information on a country-by-country basis, as opposed to completely aggregated, which is how they present that information today. It'll give us a better idea of where companies might be shifting profits into other countries, usually tax havens, to avoid paying taxes on that profit and income.
So to take an example any sort of vague corporation, that corporation might be earning its profits in the U.S. or other parts of the world, but it claims that it has an address in the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands, where those profits are not taxed or hardly taxed, and then this rule would be able to allow the IRS to determine how much of that particular corporation's taxes are essentially being kept out of the U.S.?
It'll help them make that determination. You can't make that determination with this information alone, but this is part of the information that's needed in order to get to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. And so, really, we're hoping in the first instance it's really a deterrent. Having multinationals being required to show this information will actually deter them from taking, sort of really extreme, very gray area tax positions that they're taking now.
Can you give us an example of a corporation or two and the kinds of actions that they're taking that you would determine to be extreme?
Sure. There have been a lot of reports and investigations into the tax shenanigans of many companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Starbucks, Fiat. All of these companies have, the different parliamentarians in different parts of the world have really been digging down into their tax affairs and seeing actually, in some cases, some of their subsidiaries are paying tax nowhere. And they're able to get away with this because of the way the international tax system and tax treaties do or do not sort of interact well, if you will. We had a long period of time where we tried to keep companies from being taxed double by two different countries at the same time. And really, essentially, our attempts to prevent that double taxation have gone way too far.
So now basically they're not being taxed at all by not just not by two, but by no countries.
But by none. Mm. We have double non-taxation at this point around the world. And so there is a global effort underway to actually try and make sure that companies are paying taxes, in the countries in which they're actually operating.
So this sounds like a pretty simple rule. It sounds like a pretty obvious rule. And we know that our tax rules have been written with wide gaping holes big enough for corporations and even individuals to slip their earnings and profits through. Is this rule simply a way to start to close a loophole?
It's a starting point. One of the things that activists around the world have been pushing for is that this information should actually be publicly available so that, for example, tax inspectors in Ghana would be able to see, have a better picture of, you know, a U.S. multinational's profit shifting to see where one of that multinational subsidiaries in Ghana, you know, might be profit shifting to. And unfortunately, the sort of what's being implemented now around the world is this situation where the information is only being provided to the tax authority of wherever the parent of that multinational is located. So in other words, the IRS will get information about a U.S. multinational's country-by-country reporting information, and then that's only going to be available to other countries through this sort of exchange of information or information sharing agreements. And that's extremely cumbersome, and it's very difficult for developing countries to comply with, to adhere to, because it's very time-consuming to make these requests of different countries, and there's nothing in this information that is actually sensitive information. It is provided by public companies on an aggregate level in public filings all the time.
Right.
So we're arguing that this information really should be made available to the public. In addition, if it's not, our legislatures can't see it. And that's key, right? Hmm. The legislator needs to be able to see, you know, what is going on with profit shifting? What are the trends? Are measures that are being taken, are they actually helping matters or not?
Heather is joining me from Washington, D.C., where it looks like a fire truck just passed you by. And you just testified yourself at this hearing. In fact, we're talking to you on the day of the hearing, although our program will air Monday. And you were one of several people from the Financial Accountability and Corporate Transparency Coalition, FACT Coalition. Tell us about the hearing itself. Who else testified? Were there people who testified against this rule?
Sure. Actually, you know, quite frankly, there wasn't any testimony that was saying, don't do this. Hmm. There was testimony from, you know, the sort of nonprofit advocate community, where we were all really trying to push for more information to be collected under these forms and for that information to be publicly available. And the industry representatives were talking about things like the date on which this this new requirement should come into effect. And in some cases, they were actually arguing for an ability to be able to report earlier than it came into effect, because if they don't, then they may have to report in a different manner in a foreign country because of the ways different foreign countries are implementing this rule. So there was a lot of interesting discussion in that area, which was surprising. But nobody was really coming out and saying, don't do this, this is a terrible idea. I think everybody's accepted the fact that this is going to happen, it's coming.
Wow, well, that's amazing. And how much do you think of that has to do with the kind of climate that we're in today, where people are really kind of seeing in the wake of the Occupy Wall Street movement, you know, the Fight for 15 campaign, Bernie Sanders' candidacy, this idea that income inequality is so huge and it hurts 99% of us. Meanwhile, you've got corporate elites and wealthy individuals who just have a different standard applied to them. They're not breaking the law. The law is just written in their favor. And so do you think that the timeliness of this is really crucial?
I think it is. You know, this is something that a lot of activists around the world, again, have been working on for several years. And so, you know, we have seen all of these events really building up that public interest and momentum to move some of these really important transparency measures forward, and it really is absolutely critical. I will say that in the US, it is a lot quieter, shall I say, than it is in, for example, Europe or in Africa. There is a lot more popular interest and popular uprising on these issues, which pushes the solutions forward a lot faster. We find it very difficult, actually, in the US to get the kind of popular support, people really being interested on the ground in these issues. And so, you know,
why is that? I mean, is it just that the media doesn't cover these issues as well?
You know, I actually think that a lot of people don't necessarily watch, you know, TV as such anymore in you know, looking at the really important sort of news type coverage. And I think that that's part of it. I also will tell you, you know, I can't imagine seeing any of the stuff that we're talking about now, this sort of this concept of country by country reporting, or even when we had these really great hearings in the Senate on Microsoft and on Google and on Caterpillar and this whole profit shifting thing. It wasn't covered at all by sort of the mainstream television media. It was covered a little bit by places like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, but only a little bit. And, you know, it is front page, you know, news for days in European countries, those same stories.
Well, the issue, of course, is one of fairness, simply fairness. Is it useful for us to look at corporate tax dodging as theft, even though it's legal because the law has been written to favor them? But really, they're thieving from the treasury that benefits all of us, right? Even as they're often making profits that are built off of public infrastructure. Should we be looking at it as theft? And if so, what is the scale of the theft in dollars?
So I wouldn't really call it theft because I'm a lawyer and, you know, theft is theft. And right now what they're doing is not necessarily illegal. The problem is that while they might not be breaking certain laws, they've been lobbying to make sure that these loopholes do exist in the laws, and they've been lobbying to ensure that they're not closed. They've also been contributing to political campaigns, and that really does have an effect on just what members of Congress will or will not move forward in Congress. You know, we see it every day in our work here in Washington. So it's a frustrating cycle, but it's a big cycle, and it needs to be broken because really it's a question of democracy at this point.
And so finally, what do you expect will happen with this rule? I mean, it's a rule change, right? Does this need any kind of congressional approval? Because if that's the case, forget about it. Is this just something that the IRS to say, hey, we're the agency that oversees this, we're going to now require this new rule?
Yes, the IRS has the authority to do this. That is pretty clear, I think, to most people. And they have every intention of moving forward with a final rule. I understand that the final rule may be out as early as the end of June, which would be absolutely breakneck record speed for rulemaking in my experience. So it sounds like they are really keen to move this forward.
Wonderful. Well, how far along in addressing the giant loopholes that corporations slip their profits through, how far along will this rule go to undermining that? I mean, will we eventually, just from having that extra information, and as you said, maybe it'll have a deterrent effect, will we start to see corporations try to be better, you know, tax citizens, if you will, of this country?
Well, of course, we hope that's the effect, right? You know, there's a big difference between this information just going to the IRS and just going to tax authorities around the world and being made publicly available. And when tax authorities and governments decide that the information should be publicly available, I think that that's where you're going to really see the big changes happening. Until that happens, I think there are going to be smaller changes, and I think it's going to take a lot longer for the type of change that we're looking for to happen.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Heather, for joining us. Are there any websites that you'd like to give out where our listeners can find out more information?
You know, I would say Google the Global Financial Integrity, my organization, the Financial Accountability and Corporate Transparency Coalition, and also the Financial Transparency Coalition, which is a global coalition working on this.
Thank you that so much for joining us today, Heather.
Thank you.
My guest is Heather Lowe. She is the legal counsel and director of government affairs of the Global Financial Integrity Organization. She's also a steering team member of the Financial Accountability and Corporate Transparency Coalition. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.